ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாபியாம் நம. கச்சூடாமணி ஸ்லோகா 580. சம்சாரத்வனி தாபபானு கிரண ப்ரோத்பூததாஹவ்யதா கிண்ணானாம் ஜலகாங்க்ஷயா மருபுவிம் ப்ராந்த்யா பரிப்ராம்யதாம் அத்யாசன்ன சுதாம் புதிம் சுககரம் ப்ரஹ்மாத்வயம் தர்ஷயத்யேஷா சங்கர பாரதி விஜயதே நிர்வாண சந்தாயினி. வி read this shloka in the last webinar itself and gave the essence of this shloka. Today we will see the meaning of this shloka. So in this shloka, Acharya is talking about the glory of Viveka Chudamani. The text, through a very beautiful metaphor or a comparison, where the entire world is compared to a desert land. Prapanchaha eva marubhuvihi. And all the living things, especially the human beings, sarve jivaha, they are all compared to the travelers in the desert land of the world. So imagine there is a huge desert in which a lot of people are traveling, and the human beings. And then the various problems that every individual undergoes during this travel, the various problems, namely the adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika, the tapatraya, all these three kinds of afflictions. We have seen all these three and all earlier, adhyatmika tapa, adhibhautika tapa, and adhidaivika tapas, all three of them. So these problems, they are all compared to the scorching rays of the sun. So they are going in a desert and there is a sun above with scorching rays, and it is going to be extremely tormenting. And naturally, when one is in a desert land with a scorching sun above, the person will be naturally thirsty, and our search for the peace of mind, nirvrittihi, while facing various problems, that is compared to the thirsting for water in this metaphor. Daha samana jalam. And the various objects and the people in the world which we approach for getting some peace of mind, they are all compared to the mirage water in the desert. That means there is no source of real water in the desert land. And also, in the samsara, the world, there is no source of real peace at all. So this is the comparison. Therefore, vishayas, they are all compared to marichika. Marichika is the mirage water. And even in the desert land, sometimes there are areas which are green with water. We call it the oasis. A small area with fresh water, spring water. It's not saline water, it's fresh water. And in the same way, in the entire creation, there is only one spring of real peace. And that spring of peace is nothing but our own Atma within. So that is what this shloka is. Therefore, Atma, the source of peace, is compared to the only green belt in the vast desert, the oasis. And the guru who knows the only source of peace, that guru is compared to a well-wisher in the desert. In the desert, you keep traveling and there is some good person, a Sukrat. And that person directs you, go this way, you will be able to find an oasis. So this person, this well-wisher, this guru, he has got the knowledge of the only source of water, namely the oasis. And then the Viveka Chudamani, that text is compared to the guiding words of the guru, the well-wisher.
with the help of which the peace, the thirst, the person who is thirsting for peace in this world can go to the oasis of Atma and remove the thirst and get peace of mind. This is the essence of this shloka. So we can now see the shloka. Samsara dvani. Samsara means the world, which is the desert land, that is compared to the Adva. Adva means the place or the path through which we are all walking, the desert land. And the Tapa Bhanu Kirana, the scorching rays of the sun, Bhanu Kirana, the sun rays, which are Tapa, Tapa Kiranas, they are scorching rays, they are nothing but the Tapa Trayas, the threefold miseries. And because of the scorching sun of the worldly problems, Prodbhuta Daha Vyatha, this traveler, he has got intense thirst, the intense discomfort because of the desert and the thirst. And here the thirst is nothing but the seeking of peace of mind among the problems of the world. This person is really trying to find peace somewhere. So that Nimmadi seeking mind, that is compared to the thirst. Vyatha Kinnanam. And searching for peace, they are all these people, these travelers, these Kinnana, they are all tired. They have got a dragging existence. And Jala Kankshaya Marubhuvi Bhrantya Paribhramyatam. Because of this thirst, they are going here and there, hoping that there will be some water around. They see a mare, for example, but all the water sources they keep searching, they seek, they all happen to be what? Marichika Jalam, they are all mirage waters. Therefore, Marubhuvi Bhrantya Paribhramyatam. And the tragedy is what? When they see the mirage water at a distance, there is a very big hope, and therefore they take all their energy and rush to that water. And they get utterly disappointed and get more tired, and therefore their hopes are shattered. And from there they see another mirage water. Therefore, Paribhramyatam, going round and round and round in that desert because of delusion. And what is the delusion? Thinking that mirage water is the real source of water. Similarly, thinking that the world can give me peace of mind, that is the biggest moha, delusion. So those people, because of some past punya, they come across a well-wisher who is none other than the Guru himself. And what does he do? Atyasanna Sudhambudim Darshayati. The Guru, through the Viveka Chudamani Grantha, that book, he reveals the source of real water. And the interesting thing is what? The real source of water is not far away, but it is the closest thing. Ati Asanna. Asanna means the one very close. And because it is so close only, we have lost sight of the only source. And this Sudhambudim, Sudha means pure water, Ambudim means source. So this spring of fresh water, this is very close, this real water is very close, which is Sukhakaram, which will give me contentment, which will give me happiness. And what is that real source of water? Brahmadvayam. Brahma Advayam, the non-dual Brahma, the non-dual Atma, that is the only source of that water of peace in samsara. So Darshayam Yesha, that Guru, he shows that source of peace. And what is that? Shankara Bharati. These words which are auspicious. Shankaracharya Bharati, actually that has got two meanings. One is the words of Shankaracharya, and another is the auspicious words, the sacred words in the form of the Viveka Chudamani teaching. And how can, then one can ask a question, how can Shankaracharya claim that his words are sacred and holy? Isn't it, maybe people might even say it is a self-conceit, because people interpret all these things, that's why we are saying this. How can he glorify his own work, if someone asks? Shankaracharya is not really glorifying his work, because he does not look upon Viveka Chudamani as his work at all. Because even though words are his own, the content of the Viveka Chudamani is Veda Bharati, Shastra Bharati only. It is Saraswati only. Therefore, by glorifying Viveka Chudamani, Shankaracharya is indirectly glorifying the Shastra Vakyam alone. And this Shastra Vakyam, this Guru Vakyam, it reveals the only source of peace. And therefore, it is Nirvana Sandhayini. It is the bestower of Nirvana. Nirvana means moksha or peace. So, Shashvati Shantihi. That is Nirvana, because we have seen these terms in the Bhagavad Gita, Shashvati Shantihi. So, Nirvana Sandhayini, Shankaracharya Bharati is the Viveka Chudamani Grantha, that book. And because of this reason, this Viveka Chudamani is useful to all the travelers in the world. Since all of them are thirsty, they are going on knocking door after door. Where can I find peace of mind? They are trying here and there and searching all over. Therefore, this book excels as the greatest source of knowledge. Vijayate, it excels. So, with this glorification of Viveka Chudamani, this text is concluded by Shankaracharya. Iti Srimad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Govinda Bhagavad Pujya Bhadpada Sishya Srimad Shankara Bhagavad Kritav Viveka Chudamanihi Samaptaha. Thus is concluded the Viveka Chudamani given by Srimad Shankara Bhagavad Pada. Who is he? He is the disciple of Srimad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Sri Govinda Bhagavad Pada. He is telling the student of Sri Govinda Bhagavad Pada. Such a student, it is a work done by him. That is how it is concluded. And as we said earlier, we will quickly see a bird's eye view of the entire text of Viveka Chudamani for the benefit of those who might like to get just refreshed about what we have been talking about all these days. Actually, we started somewhere in July of 2014. And we have taken nearly this long to complete these 580 shlokas of Viveka Chudamani because, you know, we have not been regular many times because of my travel and whatever it is. But anyway, it has taken that long. And now let us just only go through a quick summary. And if you look at the entire text, the text has 580 shlokas. The last shloka is what we just read. And this can be broadly divided into 8 topics. So, the first topic is from shloka number 1 to shloka number 71. So, this is called Upodgataha or the introduction. These are all the introductory verses for Viveka Chudamani. That is, first you enumerate the topic and then you give the gist. And from shloka 72 to shloka 209, Sapta Prashna Uttarani, answers to the 7 questions. Uttaram, Uttaram means answers. Sapta Prashnas means 7 questions. They were all raised by the student and the answers to those 7 questions were given. And from shloka 210 to 253 is the Mahavakya Upadesha, Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. That is what is discussed. Mahavakyas. All the Mahavakyas in all the Upanishads, they talk about the Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam only. And then from shloka 254 to shloka 417, the topic is Nididhyasanam, assimilation. It's a big topic. By dwelling upon this teaching, that how to assimilate this teaching. And then the next topic, that is the fifth topic, is from shloka 418 to 478, that is mukti or liberation, which is the result of digesting the sastric teaching, muktihi. Then from shloka 479 to shloka 519 is kritagnyata. Kritagnyata means the disciple, he expresses his gratitude to the teacher, kritagnyata, or danyavada arpana. That's what he is doing, expressing the gratitude by the student to the guru. Then shloka 520 to 575 is the parting advice or the ashirvadaha, the guru's benediction to the disciple. The disciple has completed the learning. The teacher also is convinced that the teaching has been imparted. And so that is this parting advice to the disciple. And from shloka 576 to 580 is the conclusion or upasamharaha. So these are the 8 topics. Now we will see the gist of each one of these topics in the shlokas that were given in these topics. So the first topic, first portion, we said is the introduction, upodgataha, in which Shankaracharya, he first talks about the glory of human janma. Jantunam narajanma durlabham. That is how he starts it. We are all jantus only. Anything that has a janma is a jantu. We don't have to normally think jantu is only some animal or some insect or something else. We are also jantus only. Anybody who has taken a janma is a jantu. And among all the jantus, narajanma, to be born as a human being, is durlabham. So because only in the human birth, one can hope to attain liberation. Because even though other animals are all, for example, even a docile animal like a cow or a huge elephant, an animal like an elephant, they all, even though they are all big and all that, they cannot attain moksha. They are all, those janmas are essentially meant for exhausting their prarabdha. And in those janmas, they don't acquire any punya papas. They just exhaust the prarabdha. And not only that, human birth also, that can be validated only by utilizing this. And to attain what? To attain liberation. If we cannot attain, so if that is not there, the human birth itself is not validated. So Shankaracharya, he points out the glory of manushya janma. And this spiritual growth has to be a very gradual process. First, one has to discover that moksha is the ultimate goal of our life. We get so many intermediary goals. We want to get good education. We want to have a good family life. We want to have good jobs. We want to attain so many things in life. So all those things, even though they are all goals, they are all intermediary goals only, and the ultimate goal is attaining moksha. Therefore, fixing moksha as the goal, that is the first stage in spiritual process. Therefore, I should know that moksha can be attained only through one way, and that is through atmajnanam. And therefore, desire for moksha should be converted to what? Desire for atmajnanam. That is, moksha iccha should become jnana iccha. And then we should know that jnanam can be attained only through shastras. Shastra is the only mirror. By keeping in front of me, I can see my real nature clearly. And therefore, there is no alternative other than shastra. And therefore, jnana iccha should be then converted into what? Shastra vichara iccha. Desire for spiritual study. Shastra vichara. So, jnana iccha should be converted to shastra vichara iccha. And later, I should know that I can never inquire into the shastra by myself. Shastra will not speak to me. If I approach the shastra by myself, I cannot say, I know Sanskrit, I know grammar, why don't I learn shastra by myself? No. Therefore, I require a guide to open the shastra. Just as, for example, a sun is required to open the lotus. So, Vedanta Ambuja Suryoyaha Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Just as the lotus buds open only in the presence of the sun. Similarly, the shastra bud will open only in the presence of a guru. And therefore, shastra vichara iccha, that should be now converted to what? Into guru upadesha shravana iccha. When I go to the guru, whatever upadesha he gives, I should be able to do shravanam sincerely. Thus, the final Icha is what? Shravana Icha. All these are said in the introduction. These are all not, I am not saying anything. These are all given in the introduction. But the problem is what? I might desire for Guru Upadesha Shravana, but how to find an appropriate Guru? I do not have the resources to find out, and therefore it can be happen only by one way, and that way is by the grace of the Lord. Durlabam trayamevaitatim devanugraha hetukam manushyatvam mumukshutvam mahapurusha samshrayaha. The third shloka in Viveka Chudamani. So only by my seeking that becomes intense, and I seek the grace of the Lord, I get an opportunity to do Shravanam. Then he talks about the qualifications of the Guru as well as that of the disciple. Then Shankaracharya introduces a Guru and a Sishya. He is now creating a scene, a drama. There is a Guru and there is a Sishya. There is a dialogue. And he presents the rest of the Viveka Chudamani in the form of a dialogue between a Guru and a Sishya. And presents how Sishya should approach the Guru, what should be the attitude, all those things are all indicated. Up to that is the Upodgata Prakarana, that is the introduction. And also he introduces seven questions through the mouth of the student, Sapta Prashnaha, seven questions. And what are the seven questions? First question is, what is Atma? And the second question is, what is Anatma? Third question is, what is Bandha, bondage? And fourth question is, what is the cause of bondage, Bandha Hetuhu? And fifth question is, what is liberation or moksha? And sixth question is, the means of liberation, moksha Hetuhu? And the seventh question is, what nourishes the bondage? So what supports or what perpetuates the bondage? This is called Pratishtha. So Atma, Anatma, Bandha, Bandha Hetuhu, Moksha, Moksha Hetuhu and Pratishtha. These are the seven questions introduced in this portion through the disciple in this dialogue. And this is the essence of the first 71 verses, they all come under introduction. And the second topic, now from shloka number 72 to shloka number 209, there we get an elaborate answer to all these seven questions. So what is the definition of Atma? That is the answer to the first question. Atma is the real I, which is of the nature of consciousness or Chaitanyam. And if you ask what is consciousness, now these are all things we have done elaborately. Just only to refresh, I will tell. Consciousness or Chaitanyam is not a part or product or property of the body. It is not a part, product or property of the body. It is an independent entity which pervades and enlivens the body. These are all consciousness. And it is not limited by the size of the body, and it survives the death of the body. And the surviving consciousness that cannot be contacted, not because it is absent, but because the medium of contact is not there. All these points we have seen in detail. I am just only refreshing here. We do not have to go to all these details at all. We have seen them many times. So the answer is, answer to the question, Atma. Atma is the real I, which is of the nature of consciousness. That is the answer to the first question. And the second question, Anatma. What is Anatma? Anatma is defined as the body, which has got three layers. From one angle, from the angle of their nature, it is divided into three layers. Actually, there are two angles by which this Anatma is looked at. One is from the angle of their nature. It is divided into three layers. That is the Stula Shariram, the gross body, the Sukshma Shariram, the subtle body, and the Karana Shariram, the causal body. And the very same body is divided into five layers from the standpoint of functions. So by standpoint of their nature, divided into three layers, and the standpoint of their function divided into five layers. So division from the standpoint of the nature and threefold and fivefold. So one is the Sharira Trayam, we call it Sharira Trayam, and the other one is Kosha Panchakam. So the Kosha Panchakam, so Sharira Trayam is Thula Sukshma Karana Shariras, and the Kosha Panchakam is the Annamaya, Annamaya the physical aspect, Annamaya Kosha, and Pranamaya Kosha, the energy aspect, Pranamaya. And Manomaya Kosha is the emotional personality. And the Vijnanamaya Kosha is the intellectual personality. And Anandamaya Kosha, the subconscious or the deeper most personality aspect. So, Sharira Trayam, otherwise called Pancha Kosha, is Anatma. This is how Anatma is understood. So, Atma is of the nature of consciousness, and Anatma is of inert material, is inert material in nature. Anatma is inert, Atma is consciousness. Then what is bondage? That is the third question. Shankaracharya said, mistaking the body, Anatma, mistaking the body, the Anatma, as myself, that is bondage. And having an individuality, ego, ahankara, based on Anatma, that is bandha. That is bondage. So, anatmani atma buddhihi bandaha. This is the answer to the third question, bondage. And the fourth question is what? What is the cause of this bondage? Bandha karanam. Cause of any mistake is what? Is ignorance. Any mistake is committed because of ignorance. Any mistake is born out of ignorance. And here it is a self-mistake. Because I don't know my nature. That is self-mistake. And therefore, it is caused by what? Self-ignorance. Any mistake is caused by ignorance. And here, self-mistake is caused by self-ignorance. So, when I don't know the fact that I am different from the body, I mistake the body as myself. So, Atmanaha Deha Vilakshanatva Ajnanena Dehe Atmatva Buddhihi Avirbhavati. That's what happens. So, if this is the Bandha Karanam, the cause for bondage and Bandha for bondage, what is then Moksha? Moksha is the corollary. The destruction of this mistake or rectification of this mistake is Moksha. So, Moksha is a form of correction, we can say. Moksha is only a form of correction. It is nothing but a form of correction. And what correction it is? Correction of a mistake. What mistake? I am the body. I am Anatma. If I am the body is the mistake, and what should be the correction then? I am not the body. Then if I am not the body, natural question will be, who am I? I am the consciousness. I am the Chaitanyam, which is different. It pervades, which is eternal, that is my real nature. Therefore, moksha is correction of the mistake. So, anatmani atmatva buddhi tyagaha. So, the correction is what? To remove the mistake, giving up deha abhimana, that is moksha. Deha abhimana is identification with the body. That moksha is giving up that abhimana. Then what is the means of moksha? Moksha hetuhu? That is the fifth question. How do you correct any mistake again? Only by enquiry. Therefore, jnanam or discriminative knowledge or discrimination is the only means of liberation, viveka. By asking the question, really am I body or am I something else? That question has to be asked. And here alone, Shankaracharya talks about one important concept, one method, important method in Vedanta called Drik Drishya Vivekaha, which is the most important method in Vedanta. And that method is what? I am different from whatever I experience. It's a very powerful tool. I am different from whatever I experience. So the world I experience, I experience the world, so world should be different from me. The body I experience, therefore I am different from the body. The mind I intimately experience, therefore I am different from the mind. Only difference is what? World is a little bit far away, body is a little bit closer, but mind is the closest. Just because it is the closest, it does not become myself. So because I am different, mind is what I experience. I have emotions, I have thoughts, all of them I experience. So mind should be different from me. Remember, for example, we gave the example of the spectacles, the glasses. I am using the spectacles intimately, even though it has become almost an integral part of myself. And in fact, it is an instrument for me to experience the world. But still, I cannot be these spectacles. Even if I use contact lenses for that matter, which is the closest, I cannot be the contact lenses. Similarly, the mind is the contact lens, which is intimately closest to me, but it is still not me. This Atma Anatma Viveka, that is Moksha Karanam. That is the sixth question, this Viveka, Atma Anatma Viveka. And the final question, the seventh question is, Bandha Pratishta. What is the reinforcing factor of bondage? Or what nourishes this bondage? This is the term we used when we did the actual in the lectures. What nourishes the bondage? Every activity that I do, other than self-inquiry, that nourishes bondage. Every activity. So only the self-inquiry alone is the only activity which does not nourish bondage. All the karmas based on raga dveshas. All karmas are based on raga dveshas. All the worldly activities, they are all based on raga dveshas. They all nourish the bondage. Therefore, the only method of weakening the bondage is the question, what extent the bondage is real? Because raga dveshas are there. I cannot avoid transactions with the world. I have to have relationship with people. So, what extent the bondage is real, I should ask the question to myself. And that is called self-inquiry. And therefore, karma nourishes bondage. And vichara, or inquiry, that destroys bondage. So all the seven questions, the guru answers in this manner. Of course, we saw them in greater detail during the lectures, but I am just only summarizing here. Again, answers are given through the mouth of the guru introduced by Shankaracharya. Because Shankaracharya Vivekachudamani, he introduced this scene of a guru-sishya dialogue. So that guru whom he introduced, he answers all these questions. Then the third topic, from shloka 210 to 263, we get the Mahavakya. Mahavakya. Mahavakya, what is Mahavakya? It is nothing but Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Jnanam. That sentence, that great sentence, which gives the Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Jnanam. Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, Prajnanam Brahma. All these are all Mahavakyas. And what is the significance of a Mahavakya? That we should clearly know. When I do Drik Drishya Viveka, I come to know that I am the consciousness. The method of Drik Drishya Viveka, that tells me that I am the consciousness, I am the Chaitanyam, I am the observer. And everything else is the observed, inert matter. I am the observer subject and everything else object, they are all inert matter. So I, the consciousness, the Chaitanyam, am the observer, and the world is the inert matter that is observed. And what is our relationship? Drik Drishya Sambandha, that is the relationship. But this process, that is incomplete, because I am still in what? I am still in duality. That is the subject, me, and there is this object, what is observed, that's the world. Because I am the drik, observer, and the world is the drishyam, observed.
So this duality is there. And therefore, I have to go to the next higher level, and that higher level of understanding is not only I am Drik, the observer of the world, I am also the Karanam of the Drishya Prapancha. This is where the Vedantic learning becomes intensified. I am the observer, that is true. At the same time, I am also the Karanam of the observed universe, Drishya Prapancha. I am not only the observer of the Drishya Prapancha, I am also the Karanam of that, cause of that. That Karanatvam alone, that is expressed by the word Brahman. That is where the word Brahman gets introduced to show the Karanatvam, the causal nature. Aham Brahma Asmi means Aham Karanam Asmi. I am the cause. And what we said first, I am the observer. Now what do I say? I am the Karanam. And once I elevate myself to the level of Karanam, the cause, what becomes to the status of the world? The world which was taken as Drishyam now becomes Karyam. Because when I say I am the Karanam, the Drik is Karanam, and the world Drishyam, that becomes the Karyam, the effect. For every cause, that is this effect, Karyam. Therefore, I am the Karanam and the world is Karyam. I am means Chaitanyam, understand? I am is not the body. I am the Chaitanyam, the consciousness. I am Karanam and the world is Karyam, the effect. So, what is our new relationship now? Karya Karana Sambandha. And what is the old relationship? Drik Drishya Sambandha. That is how the evolution happens. From Drik Drishya Sambandha, now I have come to Karana Karya Karana Sambandha. So this conversion of Drik Drishya Sambandha into Karya Karana Sambandha is the function of what? Of the Mahavakyam. So Mahavakyam communicates this transition. When I say Aham, it means Drik. Aham Brahma Asmi, that means Aham Karanam Asmi. Okay. Then what is the benefit of this level of knowledge? This is the next level of knowledge we said. And what is the benefit of this level of knowledge? Once I know that I am the Karanam and the world is Karyam, I derive the corollary that Karyam, if you remember, these are all things which you have discussed. The Karyam cannot exist separate from the Karanam. Karyam cannot exist separate from the Karanam. Just as the observed dream, we have a dream when we sleep, the observed dream does not exist separate from the observer I. The world is also like a dream. It doesn't exist separate from the observer I. So when previously I said Drik and Drishya, there is duality. When I know it is Karyam and Karanam, the duality disappears. You see how the Advaita concept comes in. Drik Drishya, that Viveka brings in duality, whereas when I know the same thing is Karyam and Karanam, the duality disappears. It is like saying, for example, the clay and pot, the popular analogy we have seen many times. It looks as though I am counting two, there is a clay and there is pot. Because there are two words, we conclude normally with, there are two words, we say there are two substances. But we know between clay and pot, Karya Karana Sambandha is there. That means substance is one, only the names are two. There could be different nama, different rupa, different karma, that is name, form and functionalities could be different. If these two words have two separate substances, we must be able to remove one, the pot and remove the clay separately. The very fact that we cannot separate them, that shows there is only one substance. Similarly, the world and me, they are not two substances. Substantially, there is only one. Idagum sarvam yadayam atma. Aham annam, aham annadaha. All these examples we have seen. Aham shloka krithu. Aham eva idagum sarvam. I am the everything. What is the reason? It was between me and the world, the relationship Karya Karana Sambandha. Because the relationship between me and the world is only the karana karya sambandha, that is the reason. So karya karana sambandha, just saying alone is not enough. The teaching is not complete just by saying that is the from drig drishya sambandha, now I have come to karya karana sambandha. No. What is karyam and what is karanam, that has to be also understood correctly. The world is karyam, the effect, and I am karanam, the cause. Mayyeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam. So what is the function or role of this Mahavakya now? Converting drik drishya sambandha into karya karana sambandha. This is a topic from shloka 210 to 253. And now we come to the fourth topic from shloka 254 to shloka 417, a very large section. That is nididhyasanam, the internalization or assimilation of this teaching. It's a large section. Soaking in the teaching, saturating myself in the teaching. And any method I use for this saturation, that is called nididhyasanam. And we said there are several methods of nididhyasanam. For example, repeated listening itself is a form of nididhyasanam. Or reading the shastra. Or, for example, when we say webinars and people, they either record or listening to the recording or taking notes and looking at the notes or struggling to whatever it is. That is a form of nididhyasanam. And writing is a form of nididhyasanam. Discussing with equals, another fellow, you know, people who listen to the same subject. That is also another form of nididhyasanam. Teaching another person who does not know is a form of nididhyasanam. So hearing, reading, writing, discussing, teaching, these are all various forms of nididhyasanam. And then the final version of nididhyasanam that Acharya introduces here, that is presented in Viveka Chudamani as samadhi abhyasaha. We dealt with this in great detail, otherwise called sitting meditation. And a person can use any one of them or many of them also. There is no rule that you have to use only one or the other. And therefore, even samadhi abhyasa, we do not present it as a compulsory sadhana. If the other sadhanas fail, one can make use of samadhi abhyasa also, which is supplied through the yogic method of Ashtanga Yoga. That is also another form of nididhyasanam, which is optional. And Viveka Chudamani elaborately discusses the samadhi abhyasa, that method of nididhyasanam, from shloka 254 to 417. We can see how many shlokas are involved, how much importance is given to this nididhyasanam topic. Then from shloka 418 to 478, the benefit of nididhyasanam or internalization or assimilation is given. And this benefit is not a sudden benefit, because internalization is a gradual process, and therefore the benefit also is a gradual process. And now how to detect whether we are benefiting or not, because that would be a question. We have seen the clue also given earlier. We said there should be three factors that we should observe. Number one, the frequency of the negative reactions, that should come down. The frequency of negative reactions. And the second one, the intensity is also should come down. For example, if the reaction is at three levels, for example, body level, speech level, and mind level, mental level, it also, so for example, if the reaction is all the three levels, body, mind, and speech, then it is very strong, very intense. If it is at two levels, for example, the speech and mind only, it may be in a medium level. And if it is only at a mental level, it is minimum. Therefore, the intensity also should come down according to your growth, the progress, nididhyasanam. And the third point is the recovery period, how much time it takes to get out of one's reactions. So by observing these three, namely the frequency, the intensity, and the recovery period, we know our mukti or liberation. And this liberation topic itself, that is of two types. And what are the two types? Jivan mukti and videha mukti.
Jivan Mukti is a state of liberation when this body also is gone and there is no question of another body. There is Vivek Mukti. Is this state of liberation where this body, when this body is gone, there is no question of another body. And Jivan Mukti is a state of liberation wherein the body continues because of Prarabdha. Already the person has attained Jivan Mukti, but still he continues to have the body because Prarabdha is not over. So having defined the Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti, Shankaracharya also points out that the difference between Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti is only from the standpoint of the worldly people, the ignorant people. Jnani does not see any difference between Jivan Mukti and Viveka Mukti. Because for the Jnani, presence of the body and its absence does not make any difference whatsoever. Why there is no difference? Because in his vision, body is mithya. It is like mirage water. What will be the difference in the sand when you see the mirage water and when you do not see the mirage water? From the standpoint of the sand, it makes no difference at all. And therefore, Jivan Mukti and Viveka Mukti, that Bedaha. So, Prarabdha Sattva Abhava Bedaha Ajnani Drishtya Eva Natu Jnani Drishtya. From the standpoint of a jnani, but from the standpoint of the ajnani only, this Jivan Mukti, Videga Mukti difference is seen. So from his standpoint, there is a liberation, that I was liberated, I am liberated, I ever will be liberated. That is for the jnani. There is nothing like some liberation is going to come sometime. Certain bodies come, certain bodies come and go. Some bodies permanently go, some bodies temporarily go. All these are mithya from the drishti of the jnani. So this is the topic of liberation. Then from shloka 479 to 519, the disciple elaborately expresses his gratitude to the teacher. Because the teacher alone makes the shastram valid for him. So the entire spiritual sadhana, if you really see, it is really very interesting. What do? I start with my prayer to God. And God has led me to a guru. And guru hands over the shastra to me and he disappears. Because he has further work to do. He hands over the shastra, otherwise called the mirror. And he hands over the shastra mirror, shastra darpana, and he disappears. And when I look into the shastra mirror, the mirror takes me to whom? It looks as though I am extrovert. It looks. When I am looking into the mirror, I am being myself. So God to Guru, Guru to Shastram, Shastram to ultimately myself. So this is the whole journey. And I am indebted to God because He sent me to a Guru. And I am indebted to the Guru because he gave me the mirror, Shastra mirror. And I am indebted to the mirror, Shastra mirror, because it put me back into where? Into my own lap. So I started from myself and ended in myself only. And I had to go through all these processes. And that is why, Ajivitam Trayam Sevyam Vedanto Guruhu Ishwaraha. We saw the same thing during the lecture also. The gratitude for anybody towards these three, that should be eternal, ajivitam, as long as they live. Vedantaha, Guruhu, and Ishwaraha. Adau jnanaptaye paschate kritagnyatva nivrittaye. First you worship these three for gaining jnanam. Later you worship these three to express one's gratitude. That expression of gratitude is generally given briefly in most Vedantic works. In most Vedantic works, it's common to give that expression of gratitude. Viveka Chudamani is the unique work that gratitude runs into several shlokas. 479 to shloka 519. 479 to 519. Then shloka 520 to 575. That is the guru giving the parting advice, the ashirvada. And what is that? O Shishya, I have handed over the mirror to you, the mirror, the Shastra mirror. Do not lose the mirror. Even if you lose anything in life, don't lose the mirror. So keep the mirror maybe in your pocket or in your purse and stitch it to your shirt, whatever. Don't remove the shirt. Many people keep a mirror and a comb, you know, normally in the shirt pocket, or the ladies, you know, at regular intervals, men will, you know, have it in their pocket, and the ladies may have it in their vanity bags or whatever. At regular intervals, they look at the mirror to see whether, you know, one is presentable for others. Similarly, you do not require me, O disciple, anymore. So my job is over when I have given the mirror and also trained you to how to use it. Otherwise, he will hold the mirror the other way around and say nothing is seen. So the teacher also showed the student how to use the mirror. I have also trained you how to look at Shastra. Therefore, he says, you can go away now. And whatever you want to do, keep doing, no problem. But what you should not do, never lose sight of this teaching. So you can be a brahmachari, you can be a grahastha, does not matter. Often people ask the question, can grahastha get moksha? Even now, many have this doubt, can grahastha get moksha? And even if all the gurus promise, yes, you can, they are not convinced. They are not willing to accept it. Therefore, any ashrama is okay to gain moksha. It could be a brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, or sannyasa ashrama. Doesn't matter. One can gain moksha from any ashrama. Any lifestyle is also okay. It could be an active lifestyle, or it could be a secluded lifestyle, withdrawn. One who just goes to Himalayas, mountains, sitting in a cave, do, you know, atmavichara, no problem. Whether one is in an active lifestyle or in a withdrawn lifestyle, that is also okay. Anything does not, of course, we should be careful here. Anything does not mean adharmic activities. One should not misinterpret this, but that the guru does not say about adharmic activities because he is talking about a jnani. If he is a jnani, that jnani is incapable of doing any adharmic activities. That is why Shankaracharya does not explicitly say, but that is the reason behind it. So enjoy your life and be free. That is the advice of the teacher to the student. So the guru gives freedom to the disciple and blesses the disciple also. This is from Shloka 520 to 575. Then from Shlokas 576 to 580, is the Upasamhara portion. By Upasamhara, what do we mean? It is the concluding portion. That means the dialogue is concluded. The dialogue between the teacher and the disciple is concluded. And Shankaracharya, he is the master of ceremonies. He comes now because he created this Guru Shishya, that particular setting. Now, the Guru has given advice to the disciple. So the Guru Shishya scene is over. Now Shankaracharya comes back as the master of ceremonies and he says, we had a wonderful dialogue which was very successful dialogue. And he said, if Viveka Chudamani could bless the student in the text, the very same Viveka Chudamani can bless anyone who resorts to it. So, and then he concludes the entire text by glorifying the text through this beautiful metaphor that we saw in today's webinar. That is how he concludes this entire Viveka Chudamani. It's a beautiful guiding text which takes the traveler, the wearied traveler, the tired traveler, who is thirsting for peace. For him, the spring of peace is shown by this Grantha, this Viveka Chudamani text. So, Yesha Shankaracharya Bharati Vijayate Nirvana Sandayini. So with this, the Viveka Chudamani text was concluded and we will also conclude the bird's eye view, the overall summary of whatever is taught in this text. And this text for Acharya, the Sringeri Acharya, Sri, you know, Jagadguru Chandrasekhara Bharati Mahaswamiji, he wrote the commentary for this text and through which we were able to gain the interpretations for this text. And whatever I have told, nothing is mine. I have only gathered all the information given by various acharyas, particularly Swami Paramarthananda in Chennai. Through his lectures, I listened to them very, very actively. And also through the various other texts and the bhashyas written by other authors. And also from my own guru, that is Jagadguru Bharati Tirtha Mahaswamiji of Sri Sharada Peetam Sringeri. So I express my eternal gratitude to all my teachers, to my Jagadguru, the Jagadguru Shankaracharya of Sringeri Sharada Peetam, and Swami Paramarthananda, and all the other acharyas, through whom whatever I have learnt, I tried to communicate to you through these webinars. Even though it has taken 2.5 years, I don't know how accurately I communicated to you, and I also don't know if I caused any confusion in you. That is all purely my making, whereas the teachers who have taught this text to me through various means, in that text they are all extremely clear and extremely rewarding, and this has been a very rewarding experience for me. And as I told in the last webinar, teaching also is a form of nididhyasanam, and that is what I am trying to gain each time I teach any new subject, any new text, Vedantic text or whatever it is. I convert it a process of nididhyasanam for me, because that is how one can try to reinforce whatever knowledge or learning one has got through the process. I always tell, any learning gets completed only when you also are able to teach, because through teaching, several of our own doubts, they get cleared and our own knowledge becomes reinforced. So again, I thank you for many of you. Actually, some of the names, I see them here, who have been attending very regularly all the 2.5 years. That really is very, very laudable, their tenacity and their commitment. I appreciate all those who have been coming for all these lectures. And of course, we have also posted all the recording of the lectures. Our Srinivasan has posted all of them. I only give him the recordings. He posts them in the manner it should be posted in the website and all. And those who have not attended all of them, who have missed some of them, or who wants to go back and again, listen to whatever topics they want to listen, they are all there in the website. One can take advantage of them and try to reinforce whatever they have already heard or whatever doubts they have. Once you listen again, your own doubts will get clarified. So with this, I will conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Sadguru Charanaravindabhyam Namaha.